Brothers and sisters in Christ, and GCN viewers and the believers who are attending this service through various media, it's the seventh session of the message entitled The Fruits of Glory. Until last session, I explained about 12 foundation stones of the city wall of New Jerusalem. And today, as the last session, I'll explain about the 12 pulley gates of New Jerusalem. To summarize the last sessions, the first key to New Jerusalem is in the city wall made of jasper. Jasper ritually symbolizes spiritual faith. It's the faith that believes unchangingly and obeys because you believe the word of God. It's the faith that pleases God like Abraham did. Even though things don't agree with your thought or you may have lost right now, it's to fully believe and act. No matter what kind of loss you suffer, you believe unchangingly. It is the true faith. The second key to New Jerusalem is hidden in the 12 foundation stones of the city wall. Foundations can also be called cornerstones that support the pillars of the building. Therefore, we can see there will be 12 pillars on the walls of New Jerusalem, and the foundations are 12 gemstones. On the foundations are written the names of the 12 disciples of the Lord. This symbolizes that those who have been completely faithful to the point of giving their lives for God's kingdom, like the 12 disciples, can enter into New Jerusalem. But there is not the name of Judas Iscariot, who sold out Jesus. Acts chapter 1 records how another person replaced Judas Iscariot by casting lots. Matthias was chosen. Here are also two spiritual meanings. Firstly, the door of salvation was opened to other people than Israelites, the chosen people. Secondly, all the servants of God chosen and used by Him are all one of the disciples of the Lord since the resurrection and ascension of the Lord. How glorious it is. Even though we didn't see the Lord face to face, even though we were not the disciples of the Lord, Father God recognizes the servants even now as like the disciples of the Lord. Up until now, we've heard the number 12 used many times. The gates are 12, the foundations are 12, the Israel tribes are 12, and the disciples of the Lord are 12. When important providence of God are explained, we can always see the number 12. It's because number 12 has a very important spiritual meaning. John 11:9 says, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world." Noon in the day spiritually means complete light without any darkness. Also, light symbolizes God, who has no darkness at all, but is eternal and perfect. So number 12 is the number of light, which stands for perfection and completeness. That is why God uses the number 12 as a sign of the most blessed promise. The consolidation of the spiritual hearts represented by the 12 foundation stones is the perfect love. In this session, I will tell you about the gates of the New Jerusalem, where the third key is found. There are 12 gates, three gates on each side of the east, north, and south, and the west. So it says in Revelation 21:12, with 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels. So there is one angel guarding each gate of New Jerusalem. The angels that guard the gates of New Jerusalem are enormous beyond our imagination. They guard the gates day and night. Also, Revelation 21:25 says, "In the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed." Here, never being closed means that they will never be locked. The gate is closed but not locked. So when one stands before the gate, it automatically opens. But because there are no enemy forces to invade in heaven, the gates of New Jerusalem are always open. Then why is that there are angels to guard the gates? The first reason is to express The first reason is to express the wealth, authority, and honor of the city of New Jerusalem. Even on this earth, some people who have wealth and authority on this earth have their private guards in their houses. It shows their wealth and authority of the house owner too. We will look at the pictures on the screen. It's a we can see the yeoman of the guard. That way, they are guarding the gate. If there is only gate without guards, then how will you feel? Because they are guarding there, standing there. It looks so wonderful, and we can imagine how wealthy and how powerful the owner is. So we can feel the glory or authority of the house owner. And there are soldiers guarding the gate of the city. So it's very different between having no guards and having guards. In the city of New Jerusalem, is located the throne of God. Also, it is the place where the greatest man of faith in human history. So, the angels guarding the gates of New Jerusalem have great dignity and authority. So, just by seeing them, we can feel the great honor of the city of New Jerusalem. The second reason why angels keep the gates of New Jerusalem is that to keep the gates is one of the duties of angels. Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" God made angels to help and attend to His children. He sends one angel to each person who's born on this earth. These angels have the duty to record all the words and actions of each person whom they are responsible for. Matthew 18:10 says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven." They continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So when something happens, they record and they see. According to those records, God renews, God rewards each one on the judgment day. However, to God's children who believe in Him, He gives them at least one more angel. We usually refer to them as a guardian angel. They protect God's children from disasters or diseases. Of course, angels can protect God's children only when they walk in the light. If they walk in darkness, even angels cannot protect them according to the justice of God. At such times, angels keep a distance from them, turning their faces away. There surely exists the spiritual realm. We know this fact. A deaconess said to me about her unbelieving brother. This deaconess had been praying to evangelize her family. In 2016, her brother had cancer, liver cancer. hearing the news because she loved her brother. She called to her brother. Then her brothers, I mean, this deaconess said to her brother like this: no matter whether you believe or not, their heaven surely exists. Then, because her brother, his heart became poor, so he said, what should I do? His heart opened, so she delivered the message of the gospel. And she encouraged him to listen to the message of the cross, even in the hospital. Then he obeyed, and he received the prayer of the senior pastor. In 2011, he attended the summer retreat through video, and he witnessed the amazing works of power of God through the summer retreat. And he said he wanted to attend the summer retreat because he was in a serious condition. She didn't bring him to the summer retreat at the time. But later, he had the faith, and on behalf of her brother, this deaconess offered tithes and some offerings, because she wanted her brother to have rewards in heaven. So she she offered offerings for her brother. I'm not sure how God will work. I believe God will give grace to him as seeing his sister's deeds. This deaconess wondered if her brother could be saved or not, and she prayed, give me some confidence about his salvation. And one day, she called, she received a call from her sister-in-law, and she said, your brother saw some vision, and on his bed, he saw angels in a vision. She saw angel wearing glittering robes, white robes. So this, he couldn't recognize if there were two angels or three angels, but he saw the angels. And the deaconess was, when she received this call, she heard that she was so overwhelmed with joy. She cried. Because she prayed to give confidence about his salvation, and Father God blessed him to see angels. So this was the proof of his salvation. Likewise, the spiritual realm surely exists. We have to be confident of this. After a while, the brother passed away. And the families could see his face after his death. He had a son, a very young kid, and he attended the church. And this son, when he saw the face of his father, he said to his aunt, aunt, thank you so much, because his face was smiling. That's right. If you die with faith, then your face will have a smile even after death. Likewise, the spiritual realm surely exists. Angels also have duties in the heavenly kingdom. They take care of various duties in the well-ordered organization. One of the duties is to guard the gates of the city. Of course, spirits of darkness cannot come into heavenly kingdom. Even if the angels do not guard, nothing would happen. But angels guard the gates because it is their duty as ministering angels for God's children. It's not something they are forced to do, but it's given to them in orientation and harmony of this spiritual realm. Lastly, angels guard the gates of New Jerusalem to show the order of the city of New Jerusalem. The heavenly kingdom is run naturally without any error according to the precise and exact order set by God. The rewards, positions, and authorities are given according to God's justice, and everything is run in an orderly manner according to their ranks. But nobody boasts of himself or sets himself up high just because his position is high. In heaven, everyone is God's child and they respect and love one another. On this earth, it is not easy to find people who have wealth and honor, serve others with respect from the bottom of their heart. But in heavenly kingdom, respect and love will stem out from the heart, according to the spiritual ranks. So everything is run not by force, but naturally in orders. Also on this earth, guardian angels observe courtesy among themselves according to the measure of faith of whom they minister for. For example, when Father God threw a big banquet in New Jerusalem, he will also invite souls from other places in heaven. However, those who are invited can come in according to the spiritual order. Those in the third kingdom of heaven will come first, and then those in the second heaven, the first half, second kingdom, first kingdom, and then from paradise. If those who are in the third kingdom or lower are able to enter New Jerusalem anytime they want, they might feel happy about it, but without self-control, the value will be lost of the better things that are there. If the order in New Jerusalem is broken, its beauty cannot be kept either. New Jerusalem must have the greatest magnitude of happiness and comfort, so it should not happen. If you visit some various tourist sites, they limit the number of visitors because if the rules are broken, it can be broken. Let's say there is Eiffel Tower. If they don't limit the number of visitors, it can be harmed. It may be harmed by the visitors. So we have visitors from outside the churches in overseas countries. They say that they are touched by our members. They say that they see our members offering worship to Father God in a very good manner, and they are touched by the service of our member. And they say that they are touched by our members' orderly manner. Although there are so many members, after the service, they go out of the sanctuary in a very good order. And they are touched by that, and they say like this. Only with the order, everything is beautiful. Therefore, to keep the order of New Jerusalem, we need angels to guard the gates. Of course, even if there are no angels keeping the gates, those who are in the third kingdom or lower cannot go in there. It's because the light of glory is greatly different. Those who are in the second kingdom can go into the third kingdom only after angels put on the dress for the third kingdom. When angels put the dress on you, they don't say like raise your head, your arm, or raise your leg. How will they put the dress on you? In heaven, everything is automatical. So when you put on the dress, the angels go around you once, the dress will be put on. If you just stand, then angels will put the dress on you. Only when you wear the dress for the third kingdom, you can adjust to the light of the third kingdom. If you go deep to the ocean, you have to wear some kit. So, nevertheless, God has the angels to keep the gates of the city to show the heavenly kingdom is operated in perfect order. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I said that the third key to New Jerusalem is hidden in the gate of the city. But I don't mean that a real key is hanging on the gate. Then why do we say there is a key, and how can we get the key? Father God put a very important meaning here, and if you realize and understand it, it becomes the key. You can take the key. From now on, let us find the key hidden in the 12 pearly gates. This is a very great spiritual secret. If you do not understand the heart of Father God, you cannot understand. Because the senior pastor understands the Father's heart, senior pastor taught us this secret. In the beginning of the Revelation 12:12, it says, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl." Then why should it be 12 gates? As I said early, 12 is the number of light. So God made the number of gates fit to the scale of the city of New Jerusalem. As it says, each one of the gates was a single pearl. Its gate is made of one whole pearl. On this earth, such a big pearl does not exist, but in heaven there is. And its color is much more beautiful and lucid than that of earth. Let's see the pearls. Do you like gemstones, jewels? Because we don't have hope in earth, but normally people should say wow when they look at the pearls, but I hope you long for the spiritual pearls, though. When we have a close look at the gate, it's an enormous arc-shaped gate. It opens to two sides. It's made with a single pearl, and its handle is made with pure gold and set with jewels. Some of you may think it would be more beautiful to decorate them with various jewels, but Father God made them with one single pearl, and there is a very important spiritual meaning. Pearl is made very differently from other jewels. Gold, silver, and gemstones that make up the 12 foundation stones, they all come from earth, but pearl is uniquely made from a living thing. Let me briefly tell you how a pearl is made. Most pearls are made of pearl oysters. Typical stimuli or any physical damage cause displacement of mental tissue to another part of the oyster's body. Small particles enter the oyster. Or if they can't discharge the foreign substances that have penetrated during the feeding activity, they move around and dig into the flesh. You can see the pearl holy oyster. The holy oysters suck the water through the hose. If they do not discharge the foreign substance through the horse, it moves around and digs into the flesh. Or some microscopic hard foreign substance gets into the oyster. Then it's said that the oyster feels a very sharp pain, as if a needle is piercing into its flesh. So when the foreign substance pierces the flesh of oyster, which is very soft, the oyster secretes nacre, which is the mother of pearl, to cover the irritant. The mother of pearl is the material that forms the interior of the oysters. It's a combination of potassium carbonate and protein, and it's harder than concrete. This process is repeated many times, thus producing a pearl. It takes 2 or 4 years to make a pearl. One of 10,000 pearl shells, pearly oysters, produce a valuable pearl. So it's not easy to get pearls. A foreign substance gets into the oyster, and it's covered by nacre. And when the nacre covers it with many layers, and it becomes a pearl. It's the pearl layers. If you see the microscope, pearls are, the pearl layers are stacked up by thousands and times, and it's made, and the pearls are made. Nowadays, most pearls are cultured by applying the principle of pearl production. They insert the stimulus into the shell, which is an intruder for the oyster. When the oyster covers this foreign substance, the cover is nacre. The thicker this nacre, the brighter will be glittering of the pearl. When we look at the surface of the pearl, higher quality pearls will reflect our faces more clearly like a mirror. If the nacre layers become thicker, the pearly will also become bigger and obviously more expensive. It's called a 2-year or 4-year illness for pearl cells. Let's say a dust came into our eyes. It's so painful and inconvenient. So when the foreign substance gets in the oyster will have a severe pain. But this, the period the oysters endure is like 2 years or 4 years. We can compare to this, to the illness period. So people say, people call pearl a drop, teardrop of the ocean, or a teardrop of a mermaid. If we want to go into New Jerusalem, we all have to make at least one spiritual pearl in our heart. What does it mean? The pearly oyster endures with pain and secretes the nacre to make a pearl. Likewise, God's children also have to endure with pain until they recover the image of God fully. People of God, such as prophets in the Old Testament, the disciples of the Lord and the Apostle Paul, also went through many trials, affliction, and pain. They didn't just achieve the heart of spirit and Holy Spirit overnight. They overcame trials and afflictions, enduring severe pain and sacrifice. People of Israel were refined in the wilderness for 40 years. Why did God allow those years of refinement to them? for 40 years. He chose the people of Israel and to accomplish His will, He allowed the days of wilderness to the people of Israel. God didn't give refinement to just anyone. He didn't give refinement, severe refinement to just anyone, to any, just any church. The Father God does give any refinement, severe refinement. I've never heard senior pastor saying anything in a negative way. For 37 years, I've been seeing a senior pastor. There were many difficult times in the church. There were times of refinement. There were trials and afflictions. But in any time, at any time, our senior pastor said anything negative. Even now, our senior pastor gives a confession of faith, the providence of God will surely be accomplished. Our senior pastor confessed like that. He made the confession of faith at all times. Man was first created in the image of God and had a blameless and pure heart. But as the first man, Adam, committed the sin of disobedience, all Adam's descendants have inherited the original sin from Adam, and they also commit sins themselves. And sin came into the world, and people became stained with sins more and more. They lost the image of God. As time goes by, the world became more evil and sinful. But Father God showed His great love by opening the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. Anybody who believes in Jesus Christ will be forgiven through Jesus' blood. Not only sins of the past, but also when He commits sins again, He forgives again if he truly repents from the heart. But to repeatedly repenting and sinning is what little kids do. Even if you clean up little kids, they get dirty again while playing. But the kind of true children that Father God wants is those children who are fully grown and matured. To have this kind of perfect faith, we first have to have a sincere heart. A sincere heart is the heart full of goodness and love after casting off all evil and sins. The more goodness and love we have, the more we have recovered the image of God. That's why Father God allows refinements to His children of faith. He lets them find out sins and evil in their hearts in various kinds of situations. When we discover sins and evil from our heart, we feel pain in heart, and it's like when a sharp intruder gets into an oyster and pierces into the soft flesh. But we should know that we have such pain during refinements because sins and evil in our heart. While we are going through this time of blessing, of course, there are pains that we are having for the souls. But there are pains we cause ourselves. We should know and understand that we have such pain during refinements because of sins and evil in our heart. It's because we don't fix our eyes on the Lord, we don't build our hearts on the rock, and because we change our mind. We have pain not because the situation is hard or someone else hurts us, but because our own evil gives us a hard time. If we truly acknowledge this fact, we can make a spiritual pearl in our heart. If we pray fervently to cast off the evil and sin we have discovered, God's strength and grace will come upon us. Also, the Holy Spirit helps us to cultivate a heart of spirit. For example, if we cast off hatred, love will grow up and replace it. Just as a pearl oyster covers the unwelcome intruder layer by layer with nacre, adding thickness layer by layer, when we overcome trials with faith, the nacre of our heart will become thicker. There are people who say that they overcome, and they are changing in their heart. Then I'm so happy to hear those testimonies. I have in the past, once I felt unfair, it lasted many days. But now, it's just one day. After one day, it's disappeared. It disappeared. After more time, then they will say, they will not, they will confess that they will, they don't feel any unfairness. But anyways, we have to bear the pain while we change our hearts. But after all the days, all the pain, we will cultivate the spirit, a heart of spirit. Because God is perfect, He wants His children to be perfect too. That's why He allows us trials of faith until we achieve a sincere heart and perfect faith. He knows we feel painful, but He doesn't stop because He knows the glory we get after overcoming trials with faith will be greater. In my elementary school days, I faked illness. I think my mother became a Christian right after bearing me, conceiving me. Beside me, my family members went through illnesses. But since my mother became Christian, I got conceived, so I've never gotten sick. So I was kind of envious of other students who didn't come to the school because they're sick. Then I faked my sickness not to go to the school. Then my mother forced me to go to the school because she knew I was faking. But one day I passed out during the class. I was truly sick, but I went to school. I passed out in the school, and my father came and took me home. I remember this. It was not a big disease, but I was normal after I awakened. In any hardships, in any difficulties, we have to do things we have to do. Because I had to go to school, I had to go. At the time, the people in that days, they went to a school, and it was not possible for them to skip the school. At the time, they thought like that. Well, our senior pastor said he knew there might be believers who feel hard to hear the holiness gospel, but he had to deliver the holiness gospel. Because he knows that the holiness gospel is the word of life and it's the way to New Jerusalem, he said he had to deliver. 1 Peter 1:7 says, "So that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Through the trials and refinement, we can get the glory. The earthly life in the time of trials are just a moment compared to the eternal life in heaven. So Father God always encourages us to overcome trials with faith, even though they may be hard. He says, "My son, my daughter, although it's hard for you, overcome it with faith." He's leading us so He's leading us so unceasingly to make us enter better dwelling places in heaven and New Jerusalem by all means. If we realize that we are going through the trial faith within the Father God's love, we can give thanks from the bottom of our heart. Endurance, patience is very important. In 1966, there was impairment by Dr. Michel. This doctor tested the children on the matter. The key of life success lies on the patience and endurance. He says to the children to give rewards after not eating candies he gave for some time. There are children who didn't eat the candies. There are some others who ate the candies. And this doctor observed the children, how they lived their life later on. Those children who were patient have a great success in life. After 15 years, they entered to a very good high school, and their grades were very good, and they got good jobs, and they had good relationship with others. But those who couldn't be patient, the children, they, after they grew up, they didn't have any good relationship with others, and some of them went to the jail. And there was a significant difference between those kids who ate the who were patient, or and those other kids who were not patient. If my mother, when I faked my illness, if my mother said not to go to school, then I would have repeated my fake. Faking, then I could not be able to. I could not have been able to raise my patience and endurance. But my mother taught me to go to school in any circumstance, so I could build my patience. Since 1985, I've been a pastor in this church, and for 35 years, I came late, like one or two times. Once I. I mean, someone drove me up to the church, but it was, I was late at the time. But anyways, I could keep my, when I was young, if my mother didn't taught to go to school, then I couldn't grow up like that. Let me conclude the message. For seven sessions, I explained about three kinds of keys to New Jerusalem. The first key is hidden in the city wall, made of jasper, which means the spiritual faith that pleases God. The second key is hidden in the 12 foundation stones, holding up the 12 pillars of the city wall of New Jerusalem. I said, if we cultivate every heart of spirit that the 12 stones symbolize, we can cultivate perfect heart. Perfect love. The third key is hidden in the 12 pearly gates of New Jerusalem. As a pearly oyster makes a pearl, we also have to make spiritual pearl, the Holy Spirit, so that we can confidently pass through the pearly gates and go into New Jerusalem. Our loving senior pastor was so happy to explain about these keys to New Jerusalem to us. He also wanted us to discover the gemstones and possess them. Have you found the treasures? Not yet. You have found them, but in the spiritual war against the enemy devil, have you lost them? Brothers and sisters, what is the purpose of your life on this earth today at this moment? It is the eternal kingdom of heaven and New Jerusalem. Then I hope you find these keys with all your best and keep them preciously. Isaiah 9:7 says, "There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." Mommy members, people who are here, you are the fruits of New Jerusalem. Do you remember this confession of faith that our senior pastor has proclaimed? Father God of love also heard this confession. He also heard all our loud voice answering amen to that saying. And he is accomplishing all the providence with his zeal. Some people say, those who have purpose of life can endure anything. Normal people try to find find excuses if they fail something, if they encounter with something, some difficulties. But the people who make success, they need one reason of success. If there is one reason to go through the trials, then he can overcome the trials, even in many excuses. He can make a success. We have that one reason of overcoming trials. We have one clear reason. It's the fruit of glory of New Jerusalem. I hope you fully obey this good will of the Father with faith so that you can boldly hold the keys and enter into the gates of the city of New Jerusalem. I pray in the name of the Lord that you may become the fruits of glory, shining like the sun forever and ever.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bones of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.